Okay, we are continuing our walk through the Baptist faith and message. And today we're going to talk about the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. And I just want to read to you from the Baptist faith and message. It's on the back of your bulletin. And this is number 8 of 18, okay? It says, the Lord's Day. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. It is a Christian institution for regular observance. It commemorates the resurrection of Christ from the dead and should include exercises of worship and spiritual devotion, both public and private. Activities on the Lord's Day should be commensurate with the Christian's conscience under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, I really considered combining this one with another one, maybe doing 8 and 9 together because it was so short. But I chose not to, because I think that the Lord's Day is so important to us. I remember whenever I was still in education that many companies came out with calendars that began on Monday. Have you seen calendars that do that? It is so confusing to me. And I really saw that then as maybe an unknowing attack, but an attack nonetheless, on Christianity, because Sunday is the first day of the week. It always has been. And just because most people don't go to church anymore, don't want to shove it to the end. But I think that's what we've done a lot of times. And I don't see many calendars like that anymore. But anyway, I just want to share with you a few memories that I have of how the Lord's Day used to be observed, and not just by Christians. Sunday was a day that was set aside for worship, for family, for rest. That's what Sunday was, always. Now, a lot of people didn't go to church back then either, grant you, but they also didn't do much else because there wasn't much else to do. Most places were closed on Sunday. I remember going to the 69 Food Lane. Does that name even mean anything to anybody here? Okay. I remember going to the 69 Food Lane with my parents as we came back from Ridgeway on a Sunday to get some things, which was not the norm. And I just remember, I'd never been in a grocery store on a Sunday before, and they had sheets over many of the different items. I don't know what items they were, but I suppose we were getting bread or eggs or something. I don't necessarily, we didn't get milk because we had our own. But I just remember there were things that you couldn't buy on a Sunday, even if the store was open. And I know I've told you this before, but my grandpa had a heart attack in 1964, and he went to St. Luke's Hospital, which was kind of ironic in a way, because that's where we would end up, you know, going many, many years later. But he didn't like, as I don't think anybody ever has, he didn't like the gowns that they have in the hospital, and he wanted a pair of pajamas. And so we went to some place to get pajamas for my grandpa, but it was a Sunday. And they don't sell non-essentials on Sunday, and pajamas, I guess, are non-essential. So what we had to do, and I don't know why this memory sticks in my head, but it does, we went to a Katz drugstore. Does that name mean anything to anybody? Okay. And in Kansas. And Kansas had different laws, and I guess pajamas were essential in Kansas, and we could get them for him. And then I remember one more thing in the 80s. I remember Missouri voting in the 1980s to repeal what we called the Blue Law, which was you can't sell non-essentials. And because of that, so many places were closed, and we voted to repeal that law. And I remember the new Walmart in town had just opened not too long prior to that and was closed on Sundays until that law was repealed. And a lot of people said, I'll never go to Walmart on a Sunday. Well, we do. And I just want to say that the observance of the Lord's Day goes so much deeper than just simply not shopping or not buying pajamas or whatever else on a Sunday. And then, as I read to you here earlier, what the Baptist faith and message says. And I want to point out a couple of things from that. The reason why we celebrate, and we're going to look more into this as we go on, go through it, the reason why we recognize Sunday as the Sabbath is because it's the day of Jesus' resurrection. And that changed everything. And then it says that activities on the Lord's Day should be commensurate with the Christian's conscience under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, that may not mean much to a lot of people. What it means is it should line up with. It should be something that fits with the Christian's conscience under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I don't think we do that. I don't think I always do that. And I think a lot of times we line up the things that we're going to do on Sunday with what is convenient for us or what is pleasurable for us. And even if we do still go to church on Sunday, I think a lot of times our activities the rest of the day are not commensurate with the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10, which is one of the verses that's used here. And this is part of the Ten Commandments. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work." And I'm not going to read the rest of it, but it says not just you shouldn't do any work, but not your son or your daughter, not your servant, not even your livestock should do any work on the Sabbath. And that's the way that it was for the Hebrew people after God handed down the Ten Commandments. And the reason given is that God created the universe in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. And any time that we've ever studied that or talked about it or preached about it, we said it's not because God was tired, like many of us are on Sunday, but because he wanted to establish a pattern for you and me, for each and every one of us, that we should observe the day of rest and the day of worship and the day of things that are in line with his leadership. In the days of slavery in the South, the only time that rest was given to the slaves was on Sunday. That's the only rest they got. And can you imagine, and it wasn't just the slaves, actually, it was probably most people at that time. People who worked in coal mines, the only day they got off was Sunday. People who worked on farms, well, they didn't get Sunday off necessarily because you still got to milk the cows and feed the pigs and all those kinds of things. But Sunday was generally a different kind of day for them. But for the slaves, no 2 weeks vacation, no sick days, no 8-hour days, nothing like that. So I really believe that God put the Ten Commandments, put this in the Ten Commandments for us. And for us to worship and praise him, of course, but for us to take time to just to not work. Sabbath in the time before Christ was on Saturday. And each of the four Gospels has some account of some reason, of some of the reason why it's now observed in Christian churches on Sunday. But I want to use Mark's version. This is Mark chapter 16, and I'm just going to read verse 1 and verse 6. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed," in other words, Saturday was over, "when the Sabbath was passed, Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome brought spices that they might anoint him. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here.'" And then John 20, 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" Now, the reason I chose those two, and like I said, it appears in all four of the Gospels, but we celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday because it was Sunday, the first day of the week, when Jesus arose and when he first appeared to many of his disciples. On Saturday, the old Sabbath, that was the day of mourning because Jesus was dead and he was buried and he was in the tomb. And it was a day of great sadness. But Sunday was a day of rejoicing. And I want to ask you, what difference does it really make if you worship, if you take that day of rest on Sunday, or if you take it on Wednesday, or if you take it whenever? Does it really make any difference? When we were in the old building, we left the church one day, one Sunday morning, and all of us found these little flyers under our windshield wipers. And I can't remember exactly what they said, but basically they said that because we were not worshiping on the true Sabbath, that we were sinning. It was actually much worse than that. But but the idea was that we were doing the work of the devil because we worshiped on Sunday, which is not the true Sabbath. And I remember telling our church at that time, and I'm sorry for the history, but I know history, so I'm going to tell you some, all right? And I shared that with this, I'm sure I've told you this before, but George Washington, most people don't even know his birthday anymore because we celebrate him all kind of convoluted in the middle, but his birthday is February 22nd, 1732, all right? But he was actually born on February 11th, and most people don't know that. And what happened was, with leap year and quarters of a day that gets messed up on the, you know, all that kind of stuff, we were 11 days off in our calendar. And so somewhere after George Washington was born, they fixed the calendar. And we just skipped 11 days altogether. Skipped 11 whole days in the middle of, I think, September of some year after Washington was born. Well, 11 is not divisible by 7. So you want to know what? Saturday ain't Saturday. It just isn't. It's not the Saturday that was originally Saturday. And we don't know when it was. So I just remember telling them that there have been so many calendar adjustments over the years that it's not the day that matters. It's what we do with that day. Romans 14, verses 5 and 6 is all I'm going to read. It says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. And then it goes on to say some other things here, but this is something that, you know, you could have say this is not applying to us because Paul's writing this to the Romans, to the Roman church. But Jesus said some similar words that we're going to look at later. But the idea is that what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write here tells us that some days are very important to some people and some see them all alike. And if we live them, observe them to the Lord, that's what matters. Ramona, my anniversary is November the 8th, and we've celebrated it many times on November the 8th, but we also celebrated it one time in January by going to Hawaii. That was a celebration, you know. For Ramona and I will always remember that November 8th is our anniversary, and yes, Shelley, it's also your birthday. Uh-huh. But and who else? Is it yours too, Jean? Jeff Ellis's. Yours is the 9th. Right, okay. Anyway, the thing of it is, we don't esteem the date of November 8th as being any more important to our marriage than any other. And if the date becomes more significant than the relationship, and that's what I'm getting at here, if the date of the Sabbath day becomes more important than our relationship, we've got a problem. Paul tells us here that if we're going to observe the day, the Sabbath day, observe it to the Lord. And for those who don't observe it, don't claim to behave any differently on Sunday. They don't claim to do anything differently on Sunday because it's not being done for the Lord anyway. As we've journeyed through the book of Mark in the morning services, we saw that Jesus did many, many miracles. And many of them, in fact, most of them, we're done on the Sabbath. And I've always thought that he did that, and I believe he did that purposefully. He chose to do some of these things on the Sabbath because he wanted to make a point. The main passage I want to read to you from Matthew today isn't, there's not a miracle in the first part of it, but we'll get to one later. Matthew chapter 12, and I want to read to you verses 1 through 8, so you get the whole story. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. They're harvesting." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This vision that you see here of the disciples walking through the wheat field and plucking grain, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Anybody ever swipe melons from somebody's patch? Is there a difference there? Actually, there is. 13 men picking grain out of somebody's field might have an impact on your harvest, but in that culture, it was accepted and it was expected. We know from the book of Ruth that whenever farmers gleaned their fields, they were supposed to leave the corners of the field for the needy to come into harvest. Stealing here is not an issue. I wouldn't encourage you to go out and steal somebody's watermelon and say, "I got it from the corner of the field." That's just not the way it should work. But the issue here was that it was the Sabbath, and harvesting grain was work. They had definitions. God didn't make definitions necessarily, although there are some things about how far you could, you know, make your oxen walk and that kind of stuff. But the Pharisees got right down to how many sticks you could carry and how many heads of grain you could pluck and that kind of stuff. And the other thing that I know we've gotten used to by going through Mark is we know that the Pharisees were there not for any good purpose. They were watching to see if they could catch Jesus. And I always wondered about this, and I still wonder about it. Wasn't that work? Following Jesus around trying to catch him? And if it was work, weren't they just as guilty? You know? Well, Jesus gave the Pharisees a couple of lessons from the Old Testament. David and his men running from Saul, who was trying to kill David, and they didn't have anything to eat. And they took refuge at one time in one of the temples, one of the priests' temples. And this showbread was something that was placed on the table in the temple and normally replaced every week without being eaten. But if anybody did eat it, it was supposed to be only the priests. So here comes David, the man after God's own heart, and he and his men took the showbread and ate it and received no condemnation from God. The prohibition from working evidently didn't apply to priests because they carried out their ministries, and they showed that the ministry took precedence over the normal observance of the Sabbath, but priests had an exemption, you might say. And then Jesus made some claims in here that would have really set the Pharisees off. In verses 6 and 8 of this part that I just read to you, he says again, "Yet I say to you that in this place there is one, Jesus, who is greater than the temple." Now, he knew that. You and I know that. But boy, can you just see the Pharisees' tops blowing off of their heads when he said something like that? And then he said this, "For the Son of Man," which is how he referred to himself, and they'd heard him refer to himself that way many times, "is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus said, "I am in control of the Sabbath." In Mark's account of the same event from chapter 2:27 of Mark, it says, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." And that's one of the things I hope we can really remember in this, that yes, it was created because God rested on the seventh day, but it was created for me and you to rest and to worship, to set aside time to be with him. It was not created to be an extra burden to man about trying to count how many steps that you took, although we can do it easier today than we used to be able to, but you can only take so many steps on a Sunday. Then back to Matthew in 12, chapter 12, verses 9 through 14, which I'm not going to read to you, but in that particular passage just following this, Jesus encountered a man with a withered hand on that same Sabbath, and the Pharisees almost dared him to heal on the Sabbath, and he did. And in verses 11 of 12, of still Matthew 12, it says, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep?" Jesus healing the man on the Sabbath caused the Pharisees to criticize him. And Jesus says, "You know that if you had a sheep that fell into a pit, you'd pull it out. Isn't this man worth more than a sheep?" Amen. It's clear from Scripture that while the Sabbath should be observed as a time of rest and a time of worship, it was not designed to provide a way for you and I or anybody else to accuse somebody or to judge others. Colossians 2, 16. "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths." There's not much that we can do if people want to judge what we say and what we do. They're going to do it anyway. But the point here is that we don't have to put any stock in their judgments. Only God can judge, and Jesus, as the Son of God, has made it clear what we're to do with the Sabbath. If we have an opportunity to do good, and it happens to fall on the Sabbath, we're to do it. We're supposed to do it. What we all know, too, that there are many among us here, some of you, who are required to work on a Sunday. I mean, that's just the way it is. We can't realistically expect hospitals or nursing homes or fire departments or police departments and so many other places where people have to work on a Sunday. We can't expect them to close down. But the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And I just think that people who do have to work on Sunday, I really pray that they find a time to set aside for rest and for worship. I've heard some of our nurses who work Sunday shifts from time to time say that they listen to, sermons from the website as they're driving to work. They still get worship time in. I pray that if we have a situation come up where we can't be in church, or we can't be here in church, that we still spend time in his word, we still study the Sunday school lesson that we might miss, that we still, if possible, hear a sermon somewhere along the line. I think that's what we're called to do. We're called to set aside time for worship. And I pray for those who are required to work on Sunday that they do find other ways to worship him, other times to worship him. But remember this from Colossians. Let no one judge you. And that also means for you and me, we're not to judge them for what they do or how they do it. God created the Sabbath for us, and that's what we're supposed to do. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for setting aside a time, a day in our week when things aren't the same. Sunday's different than every other day for us who come to your church and who worship you. And I pray, Lord, that truly we recognize that you've given us this day, not just to not go to work, but also, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, to grow closer to you. And I pray that that's what we use our Sabbath for. Lord, for those who are required to work on this day, I do pray for them that they find a time to set aside. And I pray, Lord, for each of us that we do our part to help encourage those who maybe don't necessarily have to work in the restaurants or in the stores that we I just pray that we wouldn't use them any more than we absolutely have to, Lord, to keep them occupied in that way, that they too might have an opportunity to worship. I just pray, God, that we would not be judgmental and that we would use the time that you've given us for what you've given it for. And I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.